All right, you're back in the DFSR here with our MLB podcast for Friday, August 25th. I'm Doug Norrie. That is
James Davis.
And we're from DailyFantasySportsRankings.com, DFSR.com for short. Here to get you started, keep winning FanDuel and or DraftKings. And right now, our NFL projections for the 2017 season are up and ready to start hitting calculate to take a look at where some lineups start to fall, where some guys are kind of coming in with their prices. So if you sign up for a free 3-day trial right now, you'll get access to MLB and NFL as well. You're all good to go. We cover it all under one subscription blanket. Hey, so before we get started, yesterday was such a crazy day in baseball. The evening was like some sort of like opposite day. I don't know another way to put it. It was like Sale gets rocked. He wasn't in a great spot anyway, but like anytime he just like lets up seven runs, like that's not in the standard deviation away from like what his like even again in a bad like in a bad matchup. You know, Twins get kind of
It's exactly how many runs he allowed the last time he faced the Indians too. So I think we need to adjust our model to account for that for the next time.
History does repeat itself, as we've learned. I just made that up. History repeats itself.
Repeats itself, dude. That's insane.
It's crazy. So he gets rocked. Carlos Martinez is fine. Twins get generally shut out. They were a really popular stack. Angels were a really popular stack. They get completely shut out. But the real story of the day was the fight with Cabrera and Romine. Now I have a question. Do you think? Well, so the fight started with. Usually, you know, fights, they start after, like, a guy gets hit, right? This one starts, like, right as, like, he walks up with his bat. And Romine says something to you. Do you think that, it's Austin Romine. I get these freaking Romine guys confused. It's Austin Romine. Do you think Austin Romine is a DFSR user, and he's seen Miggy Cabrera in lineups, you know, like, for seven of the last 10 days, and like, and even more than that, and he's like, homie, like, the price is down to 3,000. I'm just playing it day after day. Could we do something here? And then Cabrera takes umbrage with that, and that's what gets it going. I'd like to believe that's what started the fight.
So in your mind, Austin Romine, as not like an everyday player, has a little extra time, you know, in the bullpen there. He's on his phone. He's in the chat talking to the guys, you know. He's in there. He's like, Miggy, never again. He's in the Wotamizer, like that kind of thing. And then he gets in there and they're like, Austin, you're up. You're catching tonight. He's like, thank God. I got to talk to this guy. He's like, hey, buddy. You think it started with something innocent? Like, hey, man, are you like a little dinged up or something? Or is there any like reason why you're not playing up to your normal established baselines?
And he's like, you've been in like 100% of my DraftKings lineup for like a month, and it's kind of like, matchup independent.
I'm trying to focus. I know what you're doing right now. He's like, no, seriously, I'm not trying to troll you. I'm just strike two. I'm not trying to mess with you. I'm just actually curious because I just won't play. It's not a big deal, but I just want to know. We all play through pain. It's no big deal.
So I'd like to think that that's how that fight started. The other great part about that fight, which you can only, it depends on which video you watch, but there's one of the videos, you know, the fight's going on as planned, you know, a bunch of just idiots just rolling around and tussling with each other on the ground because, you know, because someone threw a ball that the other guy didn't like, that how he threw the ball or whatever, whatever the reason was. And then the one angle is the one relief pitcher that is absolutely doing the Usain Bolt sprint from the bullpen as fast as ever. Do you think that is the highlight of the fight?
Well, I'm just not sure what his plan was because I didn't catch the angle of what happened after that. But, like, he's fully 20 yards ahead of the rest of the team. And in my mind, I think, like, the only excuse I can come up with is the last time there was a fight, he was, like, texting or taking a piss or something like that. And this time around, he's, like, just had to prove it that he was down there before. He's like, oh, the fight's going to end before I get there. I don't even need to beat anyone up, but I have to go down there and, like, talk loudly and, like, you know, separate two people that aren't even really fighting. And so, like,
well, actually, I caught the angle of when he does enter the fray.
Oh, you did.
And he basically, he sprints until he hits the mound, and then he goes, and then he kind of like realizes where he is, and he's like, huh, this is like, you know, I don't know, like the guys that probably, like, he's also like looks a little smaller too, so he's like probably like those guys that were fighting off the dragons, like when they first appeared in Game of Thrones, when he's like, oh my God, Aaron Judge is huge, dude. He's like, well, I'm not gonna go up to him. Who can I go up to here? Because he basically slows down and then kind of just like bounces around standing behind guys for the rest of the time, and then the video cut away. So his big plan was to sprint down there as fast as possible, check the box that he was in the fight, but at that point just kind of just maybe just, you know, take a knee because there was really no upside to him. Anyway, he's the MVP for me of the fight. Effort, and that's all you want to see. And I hope the team appreciates it.
MVP to me, grown men who want to fight each other about I don't know, a disagreement about the rules of a baseball game. Like, my kids at 7 and 5 have kind of worked through this by now when they have a disagreement in a game about what's happening.
No, but just like, it's his boys being boys, you know? It's a boys game. It is the absolute stupidest thing ever to start throwing, like, 35-year-old men that start throwing punches, who are all millionaires, by the way. Like, that's the other awesome part is, like, these guys are, like, millionaires many, many times over, or at least most of them that are in that fight. And not like the money should, like, prescribe how you act in certain situations, but you would think that this, it would kind of, like, I don't know, culturalize you a little bit. I guess it just doesn't. All right, let's move on from the fight. Today, full Friday in baseball. Some interesting decisions to be made today. Yesterday, you know, we kind of focused. Yesterday was one of those days where, you know, when ownership came in, at least like for the main slate, and it was partly because it was a short slate, but we really only discussed Chris Sale and Carlos Martinez, and those guys ended up being basically 50% chop it up starts across the industry, like 100%. Just about 100% of cash game lineups had Sale and or Martinez in them. It just kind of, you were picking your poison. Today does not seem to be the case for that. There are some name pitchers here. None of them seem to be in particularly good matchups. Some of them have their own question marks. Do you see, and the other reason I say this too is because when you run FanDuel lineups for our site, you run the top 20 lineups, something like 4 different pitchers come in into the top 20 lineups. And that usually when that happens, it's a sign that there's some, I don't know, like there's some indecision. Yeah. So, of the guys that are in like maybe this top group, is there a guy that stands out to you? I'm going to count the top group as being DeGrom, Verlander, Greinke, and Quintana. Of those guys on FanDuel, at least, do any of them stand out above the group in terms of like how you might want to attack cash games?
Yeah. Well, I think at first I'm always going to start looking at the pitcher's underlying skill set because for cash games, you know, I'm just trying to determine the combination of safety and upside that feels appropriate here. Greinke, for me, is the strongest fantasy pitcher in this group. The Ks are up near DeGrom's, but the walks are dramatically lower. So, you know, over the last 2 seasons, he's at just 2.2 walks per 9. And DeGrom's been solid as well. But Greinke, for me, gets the slight nod in terms of just underlying skill set or at least performance for this season. And then the matchup is good, too. You know, going up against the Giants, you know, I get that we're not going to get them in their excellent home pitcher's park. But the Giants this season dead last in terms of WOBA, below even the lowly Padres. The only team in the majors with a WOBA under 300 against right-handed pitching. So I think for me, that kind of tips the scales. Vegas seems to agree. The Giants have a very low implied total here. Greinke slots in at a minus 218 favorite right now. So yeah, I think I'd lean him. I'm not like convinced that it's where I'll end up, but if he were in the lineups at the end, I would feel fine with him.
He actually is in the top lineup right now, but like I said, it kind of gets spread out. He's in the top 3 lineups, and then it starts to get spread out. He's actually like, he's in the top 3 lineups, but he's not the guy featured the most in the top 20. I do probably think that he ends up becoming the highest owned of that group simply because the money line really helps him out. That San Francisco lineup, you know, they just have, they have some guys that like are names and they actually don't strike out a ton, but they just have no power at all. Like Posey is really the only guy that has anything like semi power, and his power has kind of been has dipped over the last couple of years.
Power hitter.
No. And then got at the bottom of the lineup, like Crawford and Tomlinson, Ryder Jones, these guys are not guys you're really worried about. So yes, the park does hurt him a little bit, but great money line. I'm with you. His stats this season, now, I always get a little spooked when like the K's jump. So like his K per 9 this year is 10 per 9. Last year was 7.6. Like that's a huge jump. And the year before was 8. So he had about 370 innings of something like 7.75 strikeout per 9. And then to jump it to 10, like pretty dramatically, like does that number, he's done this one over 160 innings, so it's like not like completely just like running good, but do you think like there's something to be made of that big jump in K for him this year, because it is out of line of what he's done for, I don't know, yeah, the last 300 plus innings?
It's probably on the high side for sure. I mean, I think probably if you look at underlying talent, DeGrom probably is the stronger strikeout pitcher. But I think that if you look over the last few years, you know, he had the injury concerns last year, which I think, you know, pretty dramatically impacted his performance. But historically, you know, he's been around that K per inning guy, you know, a little bit less, I suppose. But yeah, I don't think you can count on him for the full 10 per 9. But I still think he's I like Steamer's projection going forward of around just exactly 1K per inning.
The DeGrom line, there's a money line just came in on the Mets Nationals game, and then there's no over under on it yet. I'm not exactly sure why. Well, originally Bryce Harper was put on the 10-day DL, and this would be right around 10 days, but there's been like no sign that he's coming back up, so I don't think that's the issue. And then Conforto got hurt for the Mets. I'm not sure he's like the kind of guy that like sways a line or like an over under for not coming in. But right now there is no over under. I kind of pegged it at 7.5 with DeGrom being -180. Both these teams are pretty banged up right now. I mean, Mets specifically are just they're just a completely different team than they were at the beginning of the season. Especially if they lost Conforto, who's been like he was their best, basically their best hitter that was left. If he's gone, this lineup is trash. I don't think I'd probably want to consider AJ Cole going the other way. The Nationals, you know, the top of their lineup is different too. Like I said, no Goodwin, mm-hmm. Turner or Harper. DeGrom in a pretty good spot. Of the guys underneath them. So the I think I'm with you that I think Greinke's one, probably DeGrom 1A. The next like tier below them is the Verlander Quintana tier. Both were pretty good matchups. One of these guys stand out to you more than the other?
Not especially. I mean, sorry, I was yawning there. That's my bad.
Baseball will do that to you, buddy. I don't know.
Staying up late, my brother's. Yeah, I think they're both kind of interesting for different reasons for me. I mean, the issue with both of these pitchers is that they can struggle with the home run ball from time to time because both are fly ball centric pitchers. Verlander this season, his fly ball numbers have really skyrocketed. Well, I guess over the last few years, but he's down to 32.7% ground ball rate, and the home run rate at around 1.19 per nine might actually be unsustainably low. Like, I think you could see him settle at a higher home runs total as the season progresses. So while the sub 4 ERA, I guess, is fine, you know, he's not an exciting pitcher for me if we're looking for safety. So I don't think it's like pretty hard to imagine wanting to land there for cash game purposes. But I do think if you're just kind of farming for upside, the White Sox are a very interesting matchup for him. They're the worst team in the AL against right-handed pitching and do have a very solid strikeout total as well, top half of the league there. So I think if you're trying to tap into upside, I think if you are looking at a guy who other people will be scared of because of his, you know, semi-frequent blowups, Verlander could be the guy. And in 3 of his last 4 starts, 8 Ks or more. He did go 8 innings against Pittsburgh, too, so we know we can also get the upside. Oh, he went 8 innings against the Dodgers as well, so we know he can go deep into games. I do think Verlander, great tournament play here. I'm not sure it's where I want to be for cash games.
Yeah, he's been a weird guy this year because he's at times looked amazing, and when he's dialed it in, he's looked great, right? And he can go far in the games, but there's just been times where he's just been real bad. And like you said, like part of that could be the home run, allowing too many fly balls. He's just older now. I mean, he's in his, what, age? How old is this guy? Yeah, he's like in his age, almost 35 season. So he could be just starting to, he's probably just on the course for decline just in general, just because of age and the numbers, especially it's the walk rate too that's killing him this year too. Like for his career, he's been really able to control the walks, 2.75 walks per nine, all the way up to over 3.5 this season. That's by far the worst of his career, since 2008, that's the worst of his career. And for the last couple of years, he's been in the low twos per nine. So he's walking almost like a batter and a half more per nine this season. That's just a lot, right? And so that's going to cause you issues. And that seems to be what's affecting him also. Like 4.59 xFIP is also the worst of his career. That 2008 year, but that basically just for like the last 10 years, this has been his worst year of his career. Quintana is a favorite. He's another one that can seem like he can just blow up at any time. Do you think the blow up potential for him is just centered mostly just around the home runs?
Yeah, I think so. You know, Quintana's a good pitcher. He's been better this season. I think he actually has the additional concern of kind of like Greinke, but even more dramatically based on his established baselines of the Ks jumping up this year. I mean, I get that he's moved over to the NL, and that certainly is worth something, but the 9.6 Ks per nine don't look sustainable to me. I think the home run rate is about where I would expect it to be, given his fly ball rate and, you know, a friendly hitter's park. The Phillies also right now they do have a little bit of this right-handed power that, yep. You know, they're not a conventionally great power hitting team necessarily, but we talked about the Mets going in one direction. The Phillies have kind of gone in the other, where they do have some right-handed power bats that are moving in the other direction in a positive way for them. So, you know, that kind of dings Quintana a little bit for me as well. I guess I wouldn't mind it for cash games. I could live with it, given that he's the cheapest of this bunch, but I wouldn't like necessarily be fist pumping it all the way home or anything.
Yeah, Rhys Hoskins, actually, I rarely say that like a guy can like, he's not going to transform a team, but like putting Rhys Hoskins into the middle of that Phillies lineup like does make them dramatically better. Like he only has 64 at bats this season. He was a real prospect though, so it's not like this guy's completely coming out of nowhere. But
sure, he's like 600. He's a 297 ISO in the minors this year. Like that's unreal power.
He's got an 1100 OPS in the majors. Only 64 at bats. He's got 1100 OPS so far with a 206 BABIP. Right, like so. He's arguably running bad and still, you know, up in over 1,100 in terms of the slugging and the on base percentage. Man, I just had a total brain fart there. OPS. So he adding him to the middle of that lineup with an elite walk rate too does make them a better team. So just this is one of those just like be wary a little bit of full season stats. Like you said, when teams have just maybe had shifts in whatever their personnel are, like the Mets and the Phillies are going in opposite directions. The Mets were a good comp for the opposite there. Yeah, that would be my concern with Quintana as well. Still a pretty big favorite, minus 180. Not like the Phillies are expected to put up a lot of runs because they just still have guys like Pedro Florimon and Michael Franco who are not good at the bottom of the lineup. But yeah, that would be a little bit of a concern there. And Hoskins does strike me as a guy too that if you want to just like not stack a team, but like put one guy into a lineup, like in for a tournament at least. Like he basically fits that mold too, because people are not going to play him too much with the Quintana, with the matchup. Now the issue. So we've been mostly just kind of focused on FanDuel here, and well, I don't know if I explicitly stated that, but in my mind, we're kind of focusing on FanDuel. I think the problem here on DraftKings is that some of these guys, like these guys, are just way too expensive. Like Verlander's 12,000, DeGrom's about 12,000. Quintana's, all these guys are like 12,000 or right around 12,000 or above. Do you think that these is just too expensive to play some of these guys, considering their prices on DraftKings? And if we don't play them, like which direction do we go?
Yeah, I'm not sure. Like if you're trying to look for a pair of pitchers that you're going to roll out tonight, I don't really know how you're going to get two of them. I will say that Michael Wacha is an interesting guy that we haven't brought up yet on DraftKings. Kind of fits the mold of the classic DraftKings pitcher who's solid but unspectacular. 8.5 Ks per nine, 3 walks per nine, 3.8 xFIP this season. He'll go up against the Tampa Bay Rays. Be nice if they could just play one extra game against the Padres. I don't know if they can to make that happen for me. But
when I saw him showing up in lineups, I kind of just was still grafting on the Padres.
Ooh, the Padres? Yeah. Yeah, I mean, the Rays are still a fine matchup. Like, their K rate is very high. 24.8% K rate. It's good for fourth in the majors, but it's very tightly clustered with the top teams. Like, the Brewers are first at 25.5. So they're all right there in the same ballpark. The Rays are not a bad hitting team against right-handed pitching, but you do get some disparity from their home and away splits there. St. Louis is probably a friendlier hitter's park, which doesn't help Wacha here, but what really helps him is the price. If it's 7,400, that makes it much easier to afford actual guys who can hit the ball in your batting lineup, so I like him from that perspective. I don't expect him to, you know, be the winning GPP pitcher on FanDuel or anything necessarily, but at 7,400, I suspect he'll have huge ownership on DraftKings
tonight. Yeah, because you just kind of need it. Like, on DraftKings, there's the rare situation where, like, I think, like, one time this season we started, like, Kluber and Sale together, right? Like, and you just allocated half of your salary cap to those two guys. Really, the rest of the time, the way to go on DraftKings, and most people, if you've played there long enough, know this, is that you just do need to find a cheaper pitcher in the best spot and just kind of, and then, because you need to have to try to grab onto some bats. Wacha probably does fit the mold. I've liked it a lot better when my brain had him facing the Padres than when I realized that he was facing the Rays here. Their strikeout levels are fine. Their team is slightly, though, improved over the start of the season. One guy that the system likes, which I'd like to hear your thoughts on here, and it's mostly because of price. And by the way, everything I say from here on in, especially for DraftKings, is all centered around price. The guys that we mentioned for like the FanDuel ones are clearly the best arms here. It's just whether or not you want to pay 11.5 or above. And I'm just not sure you're going to get there. J-Hap is 8,100. He's facing a Twins team where he's a favorite. Twins are only favorite, or really, we have him right around 4 implied runs right now. His line started at minus 150 and is now bet up to almost minus 190 with most of the runs coming off of the Twin side. Do you think this is a situation for Hap where you can get on board with it based on like sort of how some of the Vegas numbers have gone? He's not a bad pitcher, K per nine this year. Twins have some pop. I don't know. Does this strike you as like, could you see a situation where you played like Wacha and Hap together on FanDuel and just like try to get some more bats?
Yeah, I could. I don't know that I would feel great about it. I mean, the Twins, they're kind of a funny team because they do have a few very high impact right-handed bats, but overall they've actually been below average against lefties this season as compared to, you know, the other teams. That's what below average means, so I guess I don't need to qualify that term. Hap is probably likewise a little bit better than most people realize, or at least he's performed better than he has in the past, upping the K rate while really not making sacrifices in other areas. So yeah, I mean, Hap is fine. It's going to feel weird punching those two names in and kind of shrugging your shoulders and hoping for the best. I think we learned this last night, but you take on a lot of variance anytime you invest a lot of your a lot of your lineup into bats, right? So, I mean, last night we didn't necessarily do that because we had some expensive pitchers, but I guess more what we saw is the variance of bats, even though there was industry consensus around the Twins and, you know, some of these other teams, the Angels on some level, they stunk, and that can happen tonight too. And if it does, the people that paid up for more qualified pitching probably will wind up feeling happy. But I think that Waka and Happ is an okay duo to feel, you know, to go into this, you probably have a money edge. Like, I think that's actually probably good mathematically, but it's, you're really taking on a lot of variance by doing so.
Yeah, no, I don't think, it's not a great matchup. Like I said, this, and it is being informed some by sort of some of that line movement. But yeah, strikeout per inning, his numbers are going the right direction. He's up the Ks, lowered the walks this season, XFIP the best of his career, under four. The Twins, you know, they're a slightly different team here without Sano in the middle of the lineup. He's been out for a little while. The top of the lineup, like you said, has a little bit of pop, and then you really kind of fall off a cliff, but it gets significantly worse as you move down that lineup. I wouldn't feel great about it though. I could see it happening just because if you only need to allocate something like, I don't know, 16,000 or so toward your pitchers that are in okay spots, you are able to load up on bats. Did we miss anyone of the pitchers? I think we kind of covered it. I'm not sure if I missed any guys that you had in your list.
No, yeah, there's a real dearth of pitchers kind of in that middle tier tonight. And I think we may have just listed off 100% of the pitching ownership on both sites. So I think that's pretty comprehensive.
Hit us up with a sponsor and then we'll get into some stacking.
Yeah, let's talk about FantasyFactor.com. So FantasyFactor, we'll be rolling out some new art for them on the site today. But they're back at it for NFL again this season. They are running their free rolls just like they always had in the past. And they're just a great place for casual players who don't want to run up against pros putting in hundreds of lineups each night, who just want to put in, say, between $5 and $100. The software works just as you expect it to do. The support is friendly and kind, and the guys over there seem trustworthy to me. We've been in business with them for a long time, and they keep cutting their checks, so I know they're doing something right. That's FantasyFactor.com. Use promo code DFSR for a 25% no-drip bonus. That means that you deposit $100, you get $25 to put into play right away. It's FantasyFactor.com, promo code DFSR.
The team that's showing up the most in terms of lineups right now are the Red Sox, and they're facing Jeremy Hellickson today. You know, we like to use Hellickson as sort of like a punching bag of like the anti-Saber crowd that thought that there was something to him in his early. Like, there was a lot of stuff written about him in his early career where he...
Well, he took interviews about it, too. He came out and was like, I thought my job was to get people out. Didn't know I had to strike him out, dude.
Right, so he became sort of like this, like, he became sort of a face of, at least with a lot of the guys we were reading, like, about, you know, 5-6 years ago, the face of, like, why it was better to try to trust numbers than to just, like, trust, like, in this case, very, very good luck on his part when he just, like, rocked, like, a 250 BABIP for, like, 400 innings or something like that, and then that came home to roost. Do you see the Red Sox as being... I can't imagine they're like in the Twins range of last night. The Twins thing was crazy because it was such a short slate, and like they were clearly the best matchup, which is why you saw just crazy high ownership percentages on the bats. But do you think the Red Sox come in as like the highest owned stack tonight?
Yeah, probably. I mean, sometimes the prices are prohibitive there, but I do think Hellickson's a bad enough pitcher to where, I mean, Vegas obviously sees this with the implied total. But yeah, I think they probably will be the highest owned stack. I don't know if I actually love it for GPPs, just because I think that, you know, there's so many good spots tonight that I don't think you need to overinvest in one given stack. That being said, Hellickson, the guy needs no introduction, but one of the things he's doing even worse this year than usual is allowing 1.87 home runs per nine. The fly ball rate is at an all-time low. And when you don't have any stuff and you leave that stuff up in the zone, that's a recipe for disaster. So I do like it, you know, on an objective level. Love it for cash games. I think if you're trying to get separation for big tournaments, you might be able to look elsewhere.
No, and I think you're right. There are so many bad pitchers going tonight that it's hard to sort of pin down which ones are the worst of the bunch. Red Sox are always a little bit of a publicly team, so that always worries me a little bit in terms of like their overall implied run total. That being said, guys like Hanley Ramirez, 3,100 on FanDuel, Devers, 33, even Betts down to 4,000, I'd easily take that. Some of these prices on these guys are just trending to be too low considering the matchup. You said there's a dearth of pitchers. Give me some other ones that we can sort of target against tonight.
Well, a guy that's going tonight that underratedly terrible is Ty Block. Block had some early season luck that had people claiming that he was better than he actually was, but now we're up to 140 innings this season, including several innings out of the bullpen, and he's got 4.3 Ks per nine, Doug, which is, that means like he can throw two innings, and on average, he'll strike out maybe one guy, and that's not a good sign, and it's especially not good as a lefty going up against that Arizona Diamondbacks lineup that just kind of stacks you know, three really, really good right-handed bats in the middle of that order. You know, you might also get, say, like Iannetta batting towards the middle of the lineup as well. Yeah, Pollock, Goldschmidt, you can get AJ Pollock. There's just a lot. I said Pollock twice. Anyway, you can get a lot of good Diamondback bats in there. And I think they'll actually, on DraftKings in particular, I think they'll be a very highly unstacked.
Yeah, I love this. Our system is just very, very bullish on Pollock kind of all the time. And right, especially in these lefty matchups, like his price has been depressed a little bit considering, I think, like sort of the upside he has, considering, well, mostly because he has the speed and power that you want to see. Goldschmidt, too. Sure. Goldschmidt, this is why, at least for the Arizona and Boston specifically, are the reason where DraftKings right now is trending toward these cheaper pitchers, right? Because it's like,
exactly.
Even at Goldschmidt, like 5,600 bets at 49 on DraftKings, it's like these guys are in such great spots that it just is kind of worth it to sort of pay down and just like say that, like, you know, more often than not, in baseball terms at least, guys like Goldschmidt and Pollock are just going to put up pretty serious damage, especially against a guy like Block who can't strike anybody out. I'm seeing conflicting things here. I'm not sure it's going to totally matter. The A's, I think, are another team in a good spot. One feed I'm seeing Nick Martinez is starting. Another feed I'm seeing AJ Griffin starting. I'm not sure it totally matters who's starting between the two of those guys. I probably prefer it to be Nick Martinez, but if it were, it's not like AJ Griffin is any great shakes. He's got a 580 xFIP this season with like more than three walks per nine and less than 7.5 Ks per nine. I do think like the teams we mentioned already, the Arizona Diamondbacks and the Red Sox would be much more popular owned, but the top of this A's lineup specifically, if it was like Joyce and Lowry, Simeon, Chris Davis, I really would like stacking the top of that lineup, sort of kind of no matter who's pitching for the Rangers here, just because the Rangers don't have any pitching staff at all, but Griffin and Martinez both batter. Would rather be Martinez, but the Oakland's a stack I can see being very under-owned considering some of the other like high profile names, and they're in a good spot. Who else do you like here?
Well, anytime I see Bartolo Colon's name come across the wire, my ears perk up a little bit. Colon now up to being 44 years old, Doug, which is very, very old to play in the major leagues. Not old objectively, like no offense to you. I think you're almost 44.
No. 6 years away.
We're rounding, dude. If we're just rounding to, like, if you're rounding to the nearest.
Sure, I'm closer to Bartolo Colon than, say, Aaron Judge, right? Like, that makes, like, if we're using, like, baseball players as our comps, for sure.
There you go. Also, Bartolo Colon, one sign for him tonight, Doug. The Devil's ERA, 6.66. So watch out for that. That's kind of triggering me here a little bit. The Blue Jays this season, you know, they've had their ups and downs. They haven't been tremendous against right-handed pitching by any stretch. But whenever you're getting Colon's name into the mix, especially if you're looking for big tournaments, and maybe if you're looking there and realizing, like, yeah, maybe the Blue Jays don't have the highest implied run total on the night, and maybe they haven't had the explosive results you're necessarily looking for, Colon, with his 1.8 home runs per nine, fewer than 6 Ks per nine, and the increasing walk rate. Like, if there's any pitcher that can just absolutely blow up and give up 9 earned runs tonight while his team just, like, looks on and is like, what do you want to do? Like, it's just his turn in the rotation. I think Colon qualifies there in space.
I like that Minnesota traded for him because he's, like, the classic Minnesota pitcher. Like, doesn't strike anybody out, isn't very good. For some reason, they thought they would, like, he fits their, like, whatever their scouting profile on these guys is, like, Colon is an absolute just one-to-one comp match for, like, the guy that they've been trotting out there for years. Like, I just can't even think of the names of these guys, but, like,
Tommy.
Yeah, Malone and Nolasco when they were there, right, for sure.
Oh, Nolasco. Real quick, what do you think off the top of your head what Colon's salary is? Age 44 season, known commodity. What do you think he's getting paid this year?
Oh, it's probably a lot, right? I mean, he's been around forever. I don't know. I'm going to say $12.5 million for 1 year.
You're a jerk. You look that up.
I was on his Fangraphs page looking at something else. Yeah, that's insane.
Well, when you think about that, and you can get Nick Martinez for this year for just $500,000, and you just realize, like, wow, what a racket Colon has.
It really is. It's absolutely something. This guy's still around. And then, like, and every once in a while, he'll do something like his third game with Minnesota. He just went out and pitched a complete game, 9 innings, right? and then the game after that, pitched a shutout through 7 innings. And you're like, oh, maybe. In his age 44 season, he's starting to turn it around. Nah, then he let up 7 runs in his next level.
Worth every penny in that $12.5 million. But, so I referenced Nick Martinez, actually, just to make fun of him as usual. Martinez, I just continue to be absolutely perplexed by this guy's mere existence on the planet Earth. Like, $500,000 a year is a lot of money to pay someone to go out there and have a 5.35 xFIP to, you know, be on pace for the highest home run to fly ball ratio. Or I'm sorry, the highest home runs per nine of all time. Like, if he just keeps going through with his career, he's, like, in play to be the guy who gives up the most home runs for every nine innings at 2.24 this season, 19%.
But as long as you can pay like 24x that and get Bartolo Colon, then I think you're fine, right? Like,
well, that's what I mean. That's why, like, if you're going to just have a terrible pitcher, maybe they should like reach out and try to trade for Nick Martin.
One more team that
the issue is stacking. Well, I didn't even mention what team he's up against.
Well, that's what I said before. I'm not sure if he's pitching. Like, there's conflicting reports. Like, he and AJ. Now I can tell you totally, completely tuned out the entire thing I said about the Rangers because I went through this entire thing like 3.5 minutes ago. But I just said,
I tuned out completely because I was doing my own research.
AJ Griffin, it's unclear if it's AJ Griffin or Nick Martinez pitching tonight.
It's my bad.
Wow, this is going to make us look real bad because I did an entire spot about that. One more team I want to throw out there. The Yankees against Ariel Miranda. Miranda's not like, you know, the bottom of the barrel bunch for the Yankees, middle of that lineup between Hicks, Sanchez, and Judge. Not Didi as much. But the middle of that lineup can do damage to lefties. Their implied run total a little bit lower than some of the other teams that we've mentioned here today. But I do like anytime I get like guy like Sanchez and Judge specifically against those lefties. And Hicks is on the better side of his split as well. You're just in a good spot. There's just almost too many bad pitchers. Who else did we miss anybody else here? Because I know there's bad ones.
Well, the list goes on and on. It's like there's a lot of guys kind of in the same category tonight. Like you can go the Indians against Jason Vargas. You can turn it right around and go KC against Ryan Merritt. It'd be tough to go to, like, you just look for any of these games with a 9 implied total and take the favorite. You can probably, like, that's probably the easiest way to turn your eyes on this direction. But, I mean, the Cubs against Jared Eichhoff, like, yeah, there's a lot to like in terms of the bats here. I think that will lead to kind of a smoothing out over cash game totals. I think you mentioned earlier the cash games, the lines were super low last night. I don't expect that to repeat tonight because I think people will be spread out across more of these games and not overexposed to any individual game. So good for cash games for me. It's going to make big tournaments more of a crapshoot in my estimation. But hey, that's why we're here. Daily Fantasy Baseball.
I do pivot, you know? Or not pivot. I do change my strategies for cash games depending on sort of like the makeup of the night. You know, like a night like last night, I'm fine to just run the optimal lineup. It's been, you know, like run the top 5 to 10 in cash and run them in GBP as well, and then put some more GBP lineups in. On a night like tonight, considering how many teams are in good spots, and I do think ownership will be all over the place, I think you can make a case for, if you're going to play multiple cash game lineups, to make them just different variations of stacks. So, like, you have your Boston stack cash lineup, and then you have an Arizona stack cash lineup, and kind of run a situation like that. And I actually don't think you're too far behind for either. I think you're doing yourself a favor for tournaments and for cash because you are, you know, you said for baseball, and it's a good point, is that baseball, you can run into like the variance train here, where if you are on a night like tonight, have just 4 Red Sox in your lineup, and it's the night where they just score 2 runs, then you are going to be kind of dusted across the board in cash. I do think it's fine to spread out some of those stacks on a night where there's just 6 to 7 teams that are just in such good spots that, and they all could be great too. Like, it's, so it's not like you don't say to yourself, well, I'm going to do this and I'm going to, you know, break even or whatever. I don't think that's the case either. Like you can have all 6 of those teams just score runs. And you're also just going to be exposing yourself to slightly lower owned guys, that are in just as good spots as some of the higher owned guys. So I do think that tonight, where you just say, you know, I'm going to run a couple of Boston stacks, a couple of Arizona stacks, and these are going to be my cash game and my tournament lineups. Do you agree with that kind of philosophy?
Yeah, no, I think that's totally fine. I think it all just depends on what your goals are from night to night. I think that one of the things we've learned about daily fantasy baseball is that it's a grind. It's a marathon and not a sprint, and whatever techniques people want to employ to keep their heads in the game, because I still do think there's a significant edge in playing it. Yeah, I'm on board with all that.
All right, we're going to get out of here. We will have some football content going up today and then early next week. Like, there's still time to grab a free 3-day trial to our projection system powered by Lineup Lab. Optimal lineups for MLB, NFL, DraftKings, FanDuel, you're all set to go. It's all under one sub. We'll be back again next week talking more baseball. We'll have our football podcast up in the short term. All right, buddy, enjoy your weekend.
Peace.